Top Hill Recording Podcast, episode 211 tonight. Our guest, Jay Williams.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Lie with mine tonight, and we were done. Leave the bed, I can please attainments. Don't act like that we don't need it. I just need it one more time. I try to resist, but it's so hard. If you wanna really find out, there's no going back, we went too far. Especially when you lay me back down. I'll take you up to heaven's gate and rip you back down. Baby, I can be a sacrifice. Even if we only have this night, I know I'm a different than a like. But all that fades away when we collide. Play it back, baby, I can please your demons. Don't act like that we don't need it. I just need it one more. I try to resist, but it's so hard. If you wanna really find out, there's no going back, we went too far. Especially when you lay me back down. Play it back, 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 back,
I I know it's easy to run, oh yeah. I thought we could see the sun, oh yeah. I know my record isn't clean, so it's gonna take some struggling. I've been rolling over it for weeks. I haven't been consistent, but I see. Lately I've been living in a dream state. I really can't blame you if you leave, babe. I really can't say you can't get more out elsewhere. I can't really blame you if you do, it's out there. But I can be the one, I can give you love, show me something. Wanna fight, just look. Just leave me, baby. Every time you look me in my eyes, it's a curse. I wonder what you see in me. I'll always love you secretly. If you decide to let go, let him keep you safer. But if you'd rather turn around, I promise I'll improve myself. All these flaws you see. I know I'm not really what you need right now, cause I'm the only one who really gave you down. Can we work this out?
What's going on?
How you doing, man?
What's up?
Another day, another Monday. On this side of the table, it was a really, really good day. You said you just had one of them Mondays, though, right?
I've had a very stressful past few days. So I had a back-to-back gigs, and then one of those gigs being my first three-hour solo piano and vocal gig.
Ooh.
Some of the best money I've ever made in a night from music, but... It was impromptu. I started scoring me and Justin some duo gigs. I would have a full band, but I serve tables like 3 days a week at this place called The Cafe.
All right.
In Louisville by the Paris.
Love The Cafe.
Hall.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I'm not the type of person where I tell people I play music right off the bat when I meet them. So I'd worked there for already like a year. And like, I just don't like to, I don't know, because there's a lot of people who make music now.
Yeah.
You know, especially ever since the pandemic, everybody makes music. And as soon as you tell them they make music, they assume that you're a SoundCloud rapper or you mumble rap you know what I'm saying? And I just don't want to have to deal with that. You know, I don't like, it used to be a turn on to tell girls that you make music. they run. They
at
go
running. At a certain
running.
Point, yeah. At a yeah. certain point, that
like,
flips.
If I go on dates, I do not mention it unless they literally ask, like, what do you do? I'm not even kidding. So
I serve tables 3 days a week at the cafe. Is that your answer?
No, but basically, okay. I didn't tell any of my coworkers that I made music. So we got a new manager And then they had, I guess we had gotten on the topic and they were like, oh, well, we do music here. Like, if you want to play sometime. And so I've been doing some duo gigs because it's like a small dining room. And me and Justin have been just doing like some guitar, piano. They have a grand piano in there.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
And Justin was booked at for a solo gig at
Fidido's.
And I was just like, I told my manager, like, well, I can do solo stuff too. And then we did that. And I just hooked up my vocals, just one speaker. And then it ended up going really good. I was nervous about it. But as soon as I started playing, I was like, okay, I got this.
Grand piano and a speaker?
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
That sounds dope.
Oh, yeah, it's really nasty. It looks really cool too.
Oh, yeah. Man, I bet.
And all of this, I found out I was going to play that gig like 2 days before it happened. And then I had this coming up too. So I had like all this stuff to kind of prepare for. And now after doing this, it was just like, I made it. I made it through the void.
Hey, dude.
Not a lot of obstacles in the way.
It's all downhill the rest of the week, man. You can kind of take a big, deep breath, huh?
Yeah, for
sure.
So
you've been playing a long time. You're a musician. You've been doing the thing. What was it about taking out that step as a solo? I mean, piano and solo is tough. 3 hours of it, I would imagine, would be a lot. So is that what was daunting about it for a guy who's been doing it for as long as you have?
Well, I hadn't done that many solo performances in general. I mean, when I first started, I think I did a solo gig when I was 17. I opened for this grunge alt rock band. I don't even know if that's the right genre for them, but they're called the Histronics. They're like kind of big in the punk scene in Louisville. Went to high school with the lead singer. They had me over them at the downtown Spinelli's when it was still there.
All right.
And it was just kind of funny because I made like this weird alternative pop rap music and everyone else was like doing band stuff. So I just get up there and I'm just like some stone 17-year-old kid just like yelling into a mic with no effects with just like my 2008 MacBook plugged in with an aux cord. But other than that, that was like the entirety pretty much besides like little like recitals at Maxwell's or something of my solo experience. But I've been playing with Elements of Sound for a year and a half, multiple gigs. And then we've been doing duo stuff. So in the back of my mind, I was just like, well, can I handle singing for 3 hours? Like, can I play and sing all these covers? Because I knew all these covers from playing with him, but also I had a bunch of covers that I liked too and originals. So I just kind of had a lot of self-doubt. Like, am I going to be able to fill in this time? But with the grand piano, it was really easy because you can just kind of noodle and do a little like bluesy kind of solo stuff. And at a restaurant, man, half the time people aren't even really listening.
Yeah.
You know, but
yeah.
People.
And you're a great player. I didn't mean to interrupt, but yeah, well, like it's not like you don't have any chops. So I'm sure listening to you noodling around is a good time. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It was easy to just kind of drag out little pop songs, turn them into look little bluesy stuff. And you guys feel free to interrupt me anytime. I'm a big yapper. So.
Well,
now we got time to fill.
I'll interrupt real quick. You know, you mentioned being for the last year and a half in the Elements of Sound. You got a couple of those elements sitting next to you, Justin Miller and Nate the Great over there.
How's it going?
So you guys, how y'all doing tonight?
Doing pretty great. Good, yeah.
Pretty good weekend, better, less stressful.
You know, yeah, this is less stressful for me.
Yeah.
It's harder when you have like a 6-piece you have to like manage and you have to manage yourself.
Yeah.
Now I'm just kind of sitting back, playing some rhythm and lead.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
You did some tasty stuff over there on the guitar too,
good,
man.
Good, yeah.
Yeah,
I was trying to be light. Nice.
It was nice. Yeah. I was impressed.
Yeah,
I
mean, the whole band was super great. I mentioned
Nate, man.
Yeah, Nate.
Nate.
You fucking killed it on the drums, man. Like,
as always.
Yeah, like, because we have, like, anyone who's watching us, and we have the same house kit all the time, but you had your own snare. And so sometimes, too, when people bring in other things, like, it gets really loud in this room because it's just like, you have to play quiet in this room. We're in a basement. Like, and we have one mic and it's really difficult. And we had to do some fiddling on the guitar and the keys just to get them in the right volumes, but you just from the beginning, we never had to say shit to. Like, it was just perfect. Thank all you. Your drumming, yeah. Very just right on point. Like, the sound, like I said, having a bigger snare in here, like, anytime I've seen you drum, because I think you've been in here before, but it makes you a little nervous when people bring in drums. You're like, is this going to take a minute till we're going to have to find the towels to throw shit on here? But no, you just were like drumming away. Like, it sounded awesome, man. Like, the whole band was super tight. Yeah. I always really respect trios too. I say that, I've said this a bunch of times on here, but I feel like, and in a trio, there's really nowhere to hide. Like, I'm really a strummer, so I enjoy having a lead guitar player so I can just strum. But as a trio, I mean, super, super tight. You on the keys and then you on the guitar, like, you just fill everything up. And then the keytar, just an extra added bonus that's like a chef's kiss. That was it's so dope. And you got two very different sounds out of that thing too that were killer on both those tunes you played it on.
Yeah.
Like I said, I only know one other band that around town that has a guitar is Day Cruise. I just saw them this weekend. And so to see another guitar, I was not expecting it.
You got to play the room you're in. You know what I mean? Like you got to stick together and I just follow these guys most of the time.
Well, I've never, Nate plays the way he presents himself. Very chill, very relaxed, on time. He was first one here.
In his mind, he's probably freaking out in his mind. He's
I mean, you can't tell. He never looks rattled. I've met Nate on several occasions and never, ever seems rattled.
The best thing is at the Monarch when we had everybody playing on stage and Good Time Charlie was just sitting there shaking shakers in front of Nate's face. Nate's trying to keep time for six dudes and Charlie's just like shaking his face. Like, it was just so funny.
Well, yeah. If you panic, then other people panic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally, dude. I've definitely panicked.
I'm more of a panicker.
I'm a good retrospective type of guy. I could have done that better.
Yeah.
I didn't need to freak out about that so much, did
I? Right. I feel like Nate, he's just the kind of guy you meet and he's like the perfect band member you tell him something, you don't even have to say, we're playing this. You mention a song that you might want to play to him. He's like, oh yeah, man, I practiced that half the night last night. I'm just like, what? And he made
videos.
He made drum videos of him drumming to different music that I've made and stuff. And just he just practices he genuinely loves to play and he loves to learn new songs. And oh my God.
Somebody's calling saying, don't stay. You need to stop talking about this. They're going to start asking Nate to play in other bands.
That would be an loud alarm sound because I kept sleeping through my alarms for a very long time.
Yeah, see, I normally wake up at 8 o'clock as well.
Dude, I was gonna say it's the wrong, because you got to set at the wrong 9 o'clock, man.
Yeah, it's like what happens is I take naps frequently. So I'll just put I'll put a random alarm on there, because I know I'll have to do it tomorrow. And then I'll be like, okay, every Monday. And then I'll forget about it the next week. And then all of a sudden my freaking alarms start blaring up. But yeah, Nate is just the type of guy where it's like, he genuinely loves being a part of a collective. And for a long time, it's like there have been times where I've thought I've met somebody that they play drums, you know, but then I meet them and then they want to be a rapper and they want to spit a 3-minute rap verse on every song I make. And they have so much opinions about every musical thing I want to do, or anytime I make music with them, they're a lot of musicians have this ego and they want to be the guy who does everything, you know? And with Nate, it's like, he's a guy, he loves being a part of a collective, but he just loves running sound and doing technical work. And that's just hard to find in the music community, I feel like. I feel like everyone wants to be the guy who makes everything, but he's just he's willing to do whatever it takes to make the teamwork makes the dream work type of guy, I guess.
Yeah, man. Dennis Rodman.
That's what it's all about.
He's Dennis Rodman, he's dude. Somebody needs to drop down. Yeah.
Somebody's got to take Rodman the charge. Music.
Yeah, dude. That's what I hear. Nate's the Dennis Rodman. He's doing all the hard work under the boards. It does make... I've never really thought about it like that, but it totally makes sense that if you have somebody that's... Because I've seen plenty of people that come and played with plenty of other musicians, and even am sometimes the musician that wants to be do-it-all, that wants to... help with the bass line and think about the BPM and lyrics and this and that and booking. I mean, the whole gamut. You know, there's a big ranges where that can go. And it is very nice to have somebody that not only isn't like I'm in my role, but loves what they do. That's what they want to do. That's where their strength is, and that's where they want to contribute. That's part of this podcast, is finding people that when they are willing to help, Fred, that you find their strengths and you let them do that work. If they want to help, you let them do it. And if you want them to be invested in it, You let them do the part that they're the most interested in and that they're the most helpful with. And that comes from bands, that comes from work, you know, people you work with. It's life in general. But I don't think I've ever really thought about that on the band level. And that is very, very interesting, but very, very important. So
I think that just shows why you all are a good trio. Like, yeah. Even you, super, like, besides just how tight you all sounded in the room, like, the songs were killer. Like, loved the tunes. That last one was my favorite. That's going to be stuck in my head for a while. Like I said, I was hard not to, like, I wanted to, like, sing along. I'm like, fuck, I got to not say anything or I'm going to end up being picked up on this stupid mic. But, I mean, it was great tunes. Your vocals were amazing. Not easy songs to sing like that. Like, and you killed it. So soulful and smooth. Like, I didn't really know what you're, like, I've heard the stuff you have out, but it's different when you have, like, my stuff's very different with my album stuff or whatever than it is live, because, like, it's just different. And when you have people in a room, and I really liked what you did in this room.
Yeah, I would say that what we did tonight was more true to the way these songs were originally formulated. Mm. You know, like when I have like a, I don't know what you call it. And it's not a, just, it's like a regular piano, but it's like a stand, just regular piano, not a grand piano, but I have one of those. It's like really old. I was like gifted it from one of my
upright.
Old boss.
Upright.
Yeah, a little old upright piano. It's out of tune, but all the notes are still, like, you know, relative to each other. So I'll still write on it. And it always starts out with, like, typically a bunch of seventh chords or, you know, sus twos or sus fours, you know, and I'll just kind of write some tune. And it typically sounds soulful, but, you know, as I said before we started the podcast, you know, it starts as like some soulful, you know, funk song or something. And then I'll, you know, pop open FL Studio and I'll just be like, oh, that synth sounds cool. And then all of a sudden it's like some sort of like electronic pop song, which is, if you listen, except for Passions, the Passions is the one that we did first. It's the faster one. It's the first one I played guitar on. That one, I would say that one sounds fairly similar to the track, but the rest, the other ones, those are a lot more like electronic. But yeah, so it was cool to like record these songs, and they were like sounded a lot like they did whenever I wrote them before I like started to track them and then get weird and, you know, pick some random synth and then be like, okay, well, I guess this is what it is now, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I definitely dug it, man. It was a cool sound. It was very throwback to some old R&B, and not even like 70s R&B, but like 90s R&B, so which was even more interesting to me, you know? How do you think those songs came about, and when you are writing right now, what does that look like? How many songs have you got in the bank for what you're doing right now with Jay Williams music?
Well, I actually have a single coming out on March 7th, so sweet. 2.5 days from now. It's another pop tune. I actually had him master it.
Oh, right on.
But this is cool because it's the first song, so the songs you just heard, obviously, like, I composed them, produced them, but I had not gotten along far enough in my mixing confidence and capabilities to feel like I could do it myself. So I had someone else do the mixing, and then I had them do the mixing mastering. But this one, I fully mixed myself because I'm actually in school for audio engineering.
Oh, sweet.
Cool, man. Because right, mixing is not easy. I think it's interesting that you knew
fun.
That at first that it's hard to, like, mix and to step back from it and then learn a little more and then try. Cause I've tried mixing. I've mixed my own demos and shit at the house. They're shitty. I've mixed like some stuff. Dude, it's,
you know,
hard.
What, you know what's crazy about mixing? Cause I'm in the midst of this right now. I'm mixing a band, big city, friend's band. And it's crazy how many, wherever you listen, it sounds so much different. Every individual time. You can listen in the, I mean, it always sounds amazing in the studio. You listen in the studio, you're like, oh, okay, everything sounds great. You get in the car, it sounds like nothing you did.
Yeah.
You were definitely drunk. Something was going on. Your ears were backwards. I mean, it was just weird how separate one thing can sound until you get it fixed and sitting somehow in the right spots. It's a daunting thing, man. It's a daunting thing. So you got Nate mastering, you're mixing, you're in school now to do that. How's that going?
Basically, I'm incredibly busy to the point to where it's like I don't think I could even fit one more thing into my schedule because I'm at work 3 days a week and then I'm at school. There's a couple of days where I only have one class, but I mean, I'm there at Indiana University Southeast like 4 days a week. And I'm in one of the classes that I'm required to take in the music production program is an ensemble class where it's literally like, it's like the IUS cover band.
Oh, sweet.
It's fun. I mean, it's really fun because we play each other's originals. We play covers, like, you know, and like, it's, you know, a bunch of goofballs, you know, like anyway, like anybody, like there's one person who's in our class who's 30, but there's a few who's 18 and then anywhere in between, just a bunch of weirdos. But that probably takes up most of my time because a lot of the audio engineering courses, it's very hands-on,
mm-hmm.
you know, like live sound. It's like, it's not stuff that you typically need to do homework on necessarily, but just having to be there and then the homework I do have, it is time consuming. But at the same time, it's fun and it helps my creative process because one of my classes, it's literally like I'm learning Pro Tools now, which mm-hmm. is cool because typically I would only ever work in FL Studio and I'm still more fluent in there. But I mean, I know how to run and record and produce in Pro Tools now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of my classes that are like, okay, make a 2-minute instrumental with 4 MIDI tracks and 3 instrument tracks using at least 5 DSPs and 3 types of automation. So it's like, it's very much like, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to do this, whether I feel like it or not. Kind of like what you said, it's kind of comparable to what I don't know if you remember the last podcast when you said like a writer's group like every week. It's kind of similar to that, like, because sometimes you don't feel like writing, mm-hmm. even though it's ultimately what you want to do. That's kind of my form of that, you know, because I sit down, I'm like, well, I'm going to get an F if I don't do it.
Yeah.
And I sit down and I start creating. I'm like, oh shit. Like I just create a little rap hit there, you know, maybe put that on YouTube or something, you know?
Well, and learning as an offset of that. I mean, I guess really you're creating songs as an offset of learning more than anything, but it is, dude, that would be very, very rewarding at the end of the day to do something like that.
I didn't even know IUS had a like audio engineering kind of program. That's dope. Very cool.
I think Nate went there too.
Nate had the same professor I have right now. So that was
cool. I mean, because it is hard. Like I said, I've fiddled with it. Like I think anyone who makes music semi-seriously has recorded some stuff. And like I mentioned to y'all when we were chilling between the songs, like I just put out an EP from the Monarch. They gave me the tracks. I was like, oh, I'm going to mix these. And I went and I spent forever like mixing them. And I'm like, this is dope. And I put them on SoundCloud and I listened to them and then I listened and then I A-beat them a little more and I was like, I don't know. These sound that good. And I sent them to doing my album and he sent them back to me and I was like, oh God. I'm like, these sound amazing. Like I should not have even tried to do that. But it was fun to fiddle around with. But like to really know what you're doing is like it's hard. It's really hard to get a good sound. Like, I mean, I can get levels like even, but to really have things like stand out or like have any punch, it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, and a lot of it's like weirdly objective too. I've met people who are like, you know, and they're all like different. It depends on what genre they're into. But one time I was talking to somebody, and they were really into like Midwest emo, a lot of this like really niche stuff, and they were just like, this band is just so good. Turn it on. The vocals sounded like they like maybe had one effect on them and were distorted, but like mm-hmm. not on purpose, you know? Like it sounded like it was recorded in a basement with like Cheeto crumbs, you know what I'm saying? Just like the dirtiest like picture you could think of your mind. Just like teenagers had no idea what they were doing, but if people connect with it, then they connect with it. Mm-hmm. So it's like ultimately it's like the music is the most important thing at the end of the day. But a lot of it like, you know, I mean, that's an extreme example, but like there's just different stuff like where I've seen like there's some people with like 9, you know, different racks of effects that mm-hmm. each plugin cost $100, but also like you could do the same thing and get the same point across with like 4 or 5 effects on your rack, on your vocal rack with like stock plugins from, you know, Pro Tools or FL. So it also just depends on like who you're pandering to and what kind of production
and what
you're
you
doing.
Want. And like ultimately, like as a musician, I think if you're able to mix stuff on your own, like that's very helpful to your what you want in your sound. Like someone that I think of instantly when I think of people who do their own work is like Oliver Sayani and Blind Feline.
Yeah.
And I love like that album he put out. I listened the shit out of that
Kentucky
album.
Drifter.
Like, yeah, I love that album. And like I know he mixed it and did like a lot of that stuff himself, and it sounds dope.
And Casey Powell's another guy in Louisville that mixes and does a ton of work.
Does
for
a
other
ton
people.
Of cool stuff. I love amazing. Yeah, Casey does Casey, very very good
Casey
work.
Casey has his hands in everything.
Yeah. I think it's cool to be able to do that. I think when you're able to really, at least even if like doing any of the mix yourself, like is like helpful to your sound. And so, yeah.
And it helps the pocketbook too.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, it's you do just speak to something that's crazy. A lot of times if, which I don't do a ton of mixing, but anybody that has mixed knows that reference tracks from whoever you're, the artist that you're mixing, to have some type of clue, that's the best thing you can have is like, what do they want to hear when it comes to a record? Because everybody does hear stuff different. Some people love old school. Like my buddy Brent West, he loves like the old Led Zeppelin drums to where it sounds like it's in the middle of a cathedral in a hallway inside of a silo. You know, it's just the big, boomy, empty. If he could do it in a church with no pews and record it, do that to where some people like it tight, you know. And like this studio, for example, there's something to the one mic thing to where it's the performance, get the sound of what the band sounds like. Don't put much over it. And that's when you talk about vocal racks and stacking and stuff, that's the thing we do in here. We run it through like a warm audio processor, a compressor, and that's about it. We put a little bit of this and a little bit of that, but not anything. So there's so many ways to do it when it comes to recording and what catches people's ear. And if that dog doesn't quit barking, dude, what the hell?
Oh, yeah. That's what's cool about music and I think art in general. There's like I've said this before on the podcast too, but my wife's a veterinarian and she would say there's more than one way to skin a cat. And so you can do things a lot of different ways.
How many
ways
can you skin a bulldog, dude? Because this is ridiculous.
But yeah, I mean, it's just cool. And I think that's what's interesting about making music and art is that you can do things a bunch of different ways and it still be cool whether you do something super simple or a huge production or anything in between. But the more you can have your own hands on it, I think the more true it's going to be to what you want. And I think that's hard to do. Like I'm someone who, like, I hire producers and I, of course, have ideas and stuff with the mix. But, like, ultimately, like, I hire people that I think are going to do a good job with my songs. And like, it's be way better off if you can just do stuff on your own. Mm-hmm. I think you really get the sound that you want that way.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think I realized that whenever I put out, so the last one we played, it was called When I'm Faded. That one, the mixes I got back were still good, but like, I had so many notes for the guy who engineered my stuff. Like, I felt like we did at least like 11 emails back and forth, and me just sitting back and be like, can you make the synth louder? Can you make this more, vocals more crispy, this and that? And then I was like, I think I'm ready to just start mixing my own stuff. You know what I'm saying? And then like, I on the single I have coming out on March 7th, it's called That One Night Fantasy. I just kept sending it back to myself, listening to it off my phone, doing all this stuff. And after about like the 10th mix I sent myself, I was like, this is like almost there. I'm good on the mixing, but I'm not quite sure about the mastering process yet. I know Nate knows how to do it. I sent it back and he sent me back like, and this is another option, him just like going and like overachieving what I asked him to do. He sent me like 5 versions. It was like one with like more sub, less compression, more compression, less sub, like all these different options. And then I listened to there was just one of them that I really, really liked, and I was just like, as soon as I turned it on my phone, I was like, yep, this is the one. It's going out. So
it helps to get people's opinions on the mix too, you know, like
it's nice not to be said in what you think should be the right thing, you know, to send somebody, look, here's, because you might not, that might have personally not been your choice, the one that he ended up picking, but you sent in those options without saying, hey, here's the one I think is the best one to go, what do you think? This is your deal.
There's no wrong answer.
No wrong
answer.
Like,
it's just, which one do you like? I think that's cool. Because I feel like, and it can be hard when you're making stuff to like, I mean, I don't, you want it to be right, but like, you don't want to, like, sometimes it's just like, if there you have a bunch of notes, it's like, man, now I got to send 1,000 notes on this. Like, mm-hmm. like, and it kind of sucks. And so it's, I think it's dope that you're learning how to do stuff on your own. I really like the sounds. I'm interested to see kind of what music you have in the future. Like, what do you have? Do you have stuff that you're working on now that's coming out at any time, or what's up?
So other than the one I have coming out in a couple of days, it's like, it's more of just like a, it's like super poppy, bright, just kind of like a feel good type of song. But I have, so I plan on doing, and it'd be cool to release it within the next couple months, but I don't think I'm ready for that. I mean, I have like a couple of like demos where I have like the instrumentals almost done and like some vocal ideas, but I want this next extended play, or I don't know if it'll be enough songs for an album, but the last one I put out was in April last year. So I want to release like another, at least an extended play of like 5 to 8 songs, where it's almost like I want it to be a similar genre of what I did last year. But I actually started a new account. So I had this other account for since I was 17, also named Jay Williams, but it was called Jay, just the letter J and dot Williams. And I would just purchase beats and put vocals on them. Even though I knew how to play piano and stuff, I just didn't want to take the time to learn how to produce, you know? And they were, there was a lot of good songs on there. You know, I did, you know, a few records and albums with a buddy of mine, just did a lot of different like singles and albums and stuff. And then I kind of, you know, went through some stuff, had some like dark times mentally, and then like kind of like evaluated myself. And I was like, what do I want to do? I want to be a creative. I want to create things that no one's heard before. I don't want to go online and, you know, do a Post Malone type beat or a Nirvana type type beat. Like, I don't want to sound like Post Malone or Nirvana. Like, I want to sound like Jay Williams, you know? So I was just like, I know how to do it. Let's just like, I haven't put out anything in a year. Let's learn how to do it. And then I got to where I could get a sound I like doing. But ever since then, I've gotten way better at making beats from a year ago. So I'm excited to kind of put out just like a, it's like going to be a similar genre, but just the beats are going to be way better. You know, I'm going to learn that I can consolidate MIDI to audio file and realize I can save my computer way more processing power and have my beats be way more complex and, you know, risers and automation and all the stuff I didn't really know about whenever I made my last record. So,
yeah, well, I'm stoked because I really like your sound. And I said, as much as I like the sound in the room, because I love just live music. I mean, the recorded stuff sounds great too. So I'm interested to see what you do as you like learn more. Because like I said, I've tried mixing some shit and it sucked. It sucked. It was really bad.
I wouldn't be too hard on yourself though, because I mean, I've heard your stuff, and you record live instruments, you know, acoustic guitar, live drums. That is a whole different monster than tackling electronic.
Yeah, it is. It is just like I said, if I'm doing a mix, balancing the levels is the first thing I'm trying to do. But it's always when I go to A/B it, and I'm like, man, it just doesn't have that magic that I feel like someone who knows what they're doing can do. And I feel like that's why you hire people, or you learn to do it yourself. And so I think that's very, very cool. And I didn't even, like I said, know that IUS had that program. So,
oh yeah, he's a really dope guy. My professor we both had, his name's Tim Hartel. He mixed anything from classical to rock music and made a career out of it for like, I think, 20 years. And then he got a job at IUS about, I don't know, 20 years ago. And he's just, he's a really good example of like, if you wanted to learn how they did it, like just like in the most like analog way, like he's the type where he's like, I'm going to get the perfect recording, you know, I'm going to record it through an amp plugged straight in, like let's you know, external compressors, like let's not use like as many compressors as we should, like in the DAW, like we're going to run it through like a tube amp, like we're going to do everything we can before we have to start like really manipulating it, because like he's all about the quality of the recording and where the mic is placed and which mic we're using. So he teaches you like the fundamentals of how to get a really good recording of it before you have to do too much basically makeup work with all the different DAW effects. So like,
yeah, I mean, I feel like that's what I've heard the most when I've looked up stuff trying to learn, is like anyone who knows what they're doing says like it starts with a really great recording.
Yeah,
and like, I mean, if you don't have brilliant, a great recording, then you really have nothing. Like you have nothing to work with.
Yeah, because he saw the transfer, I mean, from analog to digital. So like he's kind of the best of both worlds in that regard. And yeah, it's a really dope program there. I feel like people who there, like we're pretty close-knit, especially the people who are in like the little cover band class and like performance class that we have to take and stuff. And I mean, there's literally like a computer lab with like, you know, 20 MIDI keyboards and Mac PCs, like just like a producer's classroom, you know? And like, I think IUS just got lucky, you know, whether they knew it or not at the time when they hired, you know, Tim, that like, we're going to have a really unique program here. And I think it's going to do nothing but blow up just because, like I said, like ever since the pandemic and just as, you know, people get more hip to technology, people are going to be like, I want to make music. It's so easy now. It's so accessible.
Super easy. Like you just need a computer and a little fucking keyboard and you're you're set and you're rolling. It's crazy. Like, I mean, it's, I think that's what's really cool. And it's wild, like how different music is like from like, you know, 30, 40 or even less years ago where like, if you went and made a record like somewhere, you could have a little regional hit. Like now everybody does make music. Like you, I mean, you gotta hustle and it's hard. And I like, tell us a little bit about like, just like Jay Williams, like what you got planned, like on the books for like booking shows, like, cause you got to do everything nowadays. So what do you like show wise, what do you have coming up? Cause like, I definitely see Elements of Sound playing around a whole lot. Like I see your stuff everywhere, but like, what do you have?
Well, I'm playing at the Fuzzy Pig.
Yeah. I'm stoked for that.
So that's going to be fun. I'm still figuring out like every song we're going to do there. And, I'm right now like perfecting like my own personal gear wise, getting everything ready. Cause like if it's a place where, I mean, I recently got booked, this one other place over in Paris Town. I know that they were talking to me like, over at the Village Market, but it just depends on their setup and what they need from me. And if their building has, you know, what kind of like, if I'm going to have any ground noise or anything like that, like I need to perfect my gear before I start like asking anywhere to book me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if the setup where they already have like the grand piano and like, it's just a simple setup, then like that's good. And also just depends on like whether I want to do like a full trio show or just like solo. But yeah, I mean, like if these guys are willing to do, you know, a bunch of Jay Williams shows, then I'm down for that. But also,
I was going to say, I will do a show with you anytime. So hit me up if you ever want to do something.
Oh, yeah, we can do the Elements Sound too.
Yeah, we'll do all.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing. It's like, I also have like, I'm also fully committed on the Elements of Sound too. So it's like, I got two collectives going on. Also, like I'm just trying to, I want to get my name out there as a producer as well. I want to start like trying to, you know, have people like purchase my instrumentals and stuff like that. And just kind of hitting all the avenues. But I actually just ordered like $1,000 keyboard and all this stuff. So I got...
Norg.
I'm going to... Yeah.
What you get?
Yeah. Ouch. Yeah.
What you get?
I got a Yamaha 60 MX-61.
Nice.
And I got the bundle with the stand, the seat, the sustain. And I got a bag. And I got a couple speakers. So I just really... I want to get a looper pedal too.
Get the RC 500 or the 301 or something like that. Something that has multi...
Yeah.
Not just a single. The RC.
Yeah, he has the Boss.
The 505, the RC 505. That
Bam,
one.
Bam, that's the one right there.
Yeah, but yeah. I think Etcherine just came out with like a new looper though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty dope.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like that, yeah.
But yeah.
Justin might have a 505 available real soon, is what I think.
No, I have some extra ones.
Oh, extra.
I've been trying to like run shows to where me and him have like multiple stuff ran into two loop pedals. So basically, he has one on the keyboard, and then I have one in front of me on the floor.
Beautiful.
And then they're both clocked together. And I had it kind of working, but we've just been kind of busy.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are busy.
Yeah. So now, usually, I just kind of loop. And like a couple shows ago, we tried it to where we looped the cajon, and we like plugged it into my loop pedal. And that was pretty cool.
Okay.
But we're just trying to, I need to give him more freedom so he can loop on the loops. Yeah,
so but I also don't just want to have to like ask him to borrow gear every time. Like, I don't want to feel like I don't want to like, you know, he's such a giving person and he's willing to do anything for his friends, but I don't want to take advantage of that. So I want to be like, hey, can I use your loop pedal? Like literally anytime I want to play somewhere, you know?
Well, here's
you
the thing though, Jay, you could if you wanted to.
You just had your first 3-hour solo gig where you made the most money you ever made. That's how he bought those things. You got to do the same.
I'd much rather just like, you know, get it myself, you know, because I don't like to, I've always been the type where it's like, I don't want to, you know, if someone's good to me, I don't want to overuse it or take advantage. Because, you know, I've had friends like that in the past where it's like, you know, if you're giving, they just like take. It's like, it's not how I was kind of brought up. So it's like, I want to, you know,
contribute,
you know, respect, you know, anyone
respect
who's good
your
to
elders.
Me. Yeah, respect your elders.
I thought that's what you were going
to
say.
So Earl said something just a second ago that kind of caught me, and I haven't been able to not stop thinking about it since. And it made sense. And you kind of even mentioned it here as well. You can't just be good at music if you're going to be a musician anymore. You know, you mentioned selling instrumentals and doing other things other than just writing, playing with Justin and Elements of Sound. Nate does drums along with mastering and mixing and all those other things. Everybody's got their hands in a ton of different pots. Earl does all kinds of, he's a podcaster now. He's a musician. He's a million different things, writer. So we've had a ton of people in here. It's 211 and we've had so many good songs. You've been privy to being in this room for probably 30 plus episodes now. And how many nights have you went, holy shit, that was an amazing song, or that was an amazing three songs? They always sound good. It's always a great performance, and it's always awesome in this room. But every now and again, and it seems like almost every single time, you have a song or two that just go, holy shit, why doesn't everybody know this song? This is a killer tune. Kind of like the one that Fred and Earl and I all think that your last song is going to stick with us, maybe because it's the last one, but it was very, very cool tune. So it's wild, and it sucks that you can't just write a good song and have people know that song. Like you've got to market. You've got to sell stuff. You've got to do those other things, right?
Yeah, it's hard. And like I said, I feel like back in the day, you could really just, if you had a good song, you could go record it and like, if you had some money and like put it out and like do okay. And that's how you used to be able to just get discovered, they would say. That shit's long gone unless you're already famous on TikTok before you get discovered from anything. Like,
yeah. And you might not have any talent.
No. Yeah. And so it is like, it's a lot. I book all my own shows basically. And like I say all the time, my favorite thing is when someone just asks me to do some shit because like, and you don't have to deal with anything. Like it is like you have to write the songs, you have to figure out how to record them, you got to pay for the recordings. No matter what you're doing, or learn to mix them, and then you got to put them out. And then you got to figure out how you're going to get anybody to listen to them.
You got to do the social media, right? Yeah. You got to promote yourself enough to make sure that when you actually get a show that a few people show up. I mean, dude, it never ends. Wild how much of an entrepreneur you have to be a semi-successful
just a local musician.
I mean, seriously, Louisville is not a small town. It's a good sized city. It's one of the top probably 30 in the country. I think it was like 17. I don't know, who knows. So it's not saying little to be popular and a big act in Louisville. But man, there's just so many guys. It blows my mind every time. I swear I don't know if my brain is just too small to wrap.
I mean, it's endless. There's endless little festivals. Like you mentioned, Fuzzy Pig has a great lineup of local acts. There's all kinds of people that you listen to and you go, man, yeah, you think they should get more listens. Totally. But it is just like this whole thing that you have to figure out. And it's wild. Not easy to do.
I don't even know if there's a question. I think it's just we're like, holy shit. Like, I just am trying to figure.
That's the name of the game. You know, there's a lot of positives and negatives to it because, you know, back in the day, you were almost dependent upon a label to make you mainstream. Mm-hmm. But now you can make yourself mainstream. But now you have to work 10 times harder than anyone in the 80s had to do.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, and I'm no stranger to TikTok. I've actually went viral on TikTok like twice. But it had nothing to do with my music. One of them was a political meme. And the other one was me playing like the old clock tune, like a grandfather clock tune. And it was like, POV, it's, you know, 2003 and your grandmother's clock goes on. I just played the clock tune and it got like 500,000 likes, you know? And then there was one of me that got like, this one wasn't as viral, but it got like 23,000 likes of me just like singing T-Pain over some random guitar riff and people thought it was funny. But it's like anytime you try to, you have to almost like trick the audience into using your song as a sound so they can get clout and clicks off of it. So it's like, it's almost like you have to like take, like, what I've been trying to work on, and like, I don't know, maybe I'm giving the secret sauce out to the Top Hill viewers right now, but it's almost like you use your song as a sound, and the whole idea of TikTok is to get your song, like, and you can kind of imagine it as like them using that as a sound so they can lip sync it and almost like use a caption to kind of use that song as like a meme almost, you know? And so like you'll use the sound and you'll use your own song as a meme, but they don't even know you made it because people don't like, people are so used to people making music now. Mm-hmm. So you're like, hey, listen to my new single coming out March 7th. They're like, okay, screw this guy. Everyone makes music. My brother makes music and it's shit, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's like, yeah, it's just trying to make, and that's almost like the art is dying now because now people are trying to make hooks. And
yeah,
I say this now, it's like music is almost more, it's became more of a businessman's game because mm-hmm. now it's like the businessman isn't discovering the music people like. It's like the musician is becoming the businessman and they're trying to make music that, you know, kids on TikTok can, you know, do the gritty to, you know, and not.
There is for artists, and maybe not, I don't know if I'm even using the word loosely or if it's true sense of the word, but that there is danger in that. I do believe. I think there's danger in. And I've been guilty of it. I've, growing up playing in bars, you know, I think I was 17 when I started playing in bars and doing it 3-hour gigs, doing that type of stuff. I was living here playing down in Lexington and all. I mean, I had no business, but it shaped my mind to think that if I wasn't playing something fast or something catchy or something this or something that, that no one was going to listen. They're not paying attention. I'm an attention whore like any other musician. I want you to listen to me sing when I play a song. I want you to listen to me play guitar when I'm playing guitar. So slow songs were done. We're not doing slow songs if we're going to do a gig at two keys on a Thursday night when it's crazy or A1A patio, you know, back in the day. So there, you can become guilty of making your originals do that to where you go, I can't write anything below 110 beats per minute. Or not even thinking that in your head when you're writing, but just thinking it's got to have a beat. It's got to have this. It's got to have a catch. There's got to be something in this that gets people moving. Instead of just going, all right, I'm just going to write what I need to get off my chest. It doesn't matter what the beats per minute. If the song is a G, C, G, C, G, C, G, C, and that's the entire song, then so be it, because that's what I need to write right now. And I think that you can, not you, but people in general can get caught up in that with TikTok too. If I can write a good hook, if I can just write 30 seconds of a good song, if I can just get this part of this one terrible song that I wrote, but this part's cool, or just get a good beat on there, then I'll be viral. But the thing I think I've learned about TikTok and society and social media in general is it's such a flash in the pan because it's so quick. It's like the 24-hour news cycle. It's like everything else right now. It's so short and it's so quick. If you don't write something that matters, does it matter? You know, like, I don't know. Jason Isbell's, what was that? Cover Me Up. I mean, so songs like that are written about something that means something that take everything away. That wasn't a hit, but holy crap, man! Or I don't know. It just makes you wonder. It makes you wonder if, and makes you hope that you don't get caught in writing for something else instead of writing for what you want to write for. That makes sense.
Yeah, like you can't be a gimmick, you know. There was this, I don't know if y'all, in like 2017, 2018, there was this guy, his name was Lil Pump.
I remember Lil Pump.
And he was almost like a meme, you know, like people, he was funny, but I don't know if anyone actually thought he was good, but he was like on top of the world. He made all this money, but now he's just nowhere to be found, you know? And it's like, you can't make your entire catalog off of a trend of what people think is cool or funny now. You have to make something that like is about the human experience, you know? And that, I think that's what separates. And actually, I'm not excited to get old, but like it's going to be cool in like 30 years to see who we remember, you know? because there are so many things that are getting so many views that are very popular at the same exact time. You know, even fashion, you know, yeah, almost 90s, 80s and 70s fashion are all trending at the same time now, mm-hmm, because there's so many different niches on the internet.
Yeah.
Like, what are we going to look back on now and be like, these were the artists of our generation? Because it's like, I mean, obviously people are going to look at Taylor Swift because she's like runs the world now, I guess.
Yeah.
But besides that, you know, like who are going to be looking back at it and be like, okay, these were the artists of the 20s.
There's very few. There are so few of the... the super, super, superstars like there used to be, like the, you know, the Elvises and the Beatles and the, even Michael Jackson's of the day that were these can't walk outside type of things because people don't pay it. They don't have the attention span for that type of stuff. Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce might be the closest thing to it right now, yeah, because it's exciting, it's new. And you're right, Taylor Swift might be the one that people remember back in the day. But it is so weird, man. It's so weird that to think the transformation, number one, of music in general, of how far things have come since like the invention of the iPod, which was what, 15, 16 years ago? It was not that long ago. Yeah, you were probably in middle school when the first actual smartphone came along. This is, or maybe fifth grade, but it is not that long ago since music transformed. And you go back like a generation before that, like my parents, they started with, you know, AM, FM radio, records to A-tracks to CDs to the medium changed so much. And who knows where it's going to be with all the augmented reality and these things that are coming up forward, because I can't imagine as an artist having to go, well, now you got to do an augmented reality version of your song so people, when they put on their Apple Pro Vision glasses, can see it as they walk down the street, or you ain't shit. You know, it's like, what?
Yeah.
How much more do you got to do?
It's kind of weird to think about it like that, because like, I think of like, okay, like my dad, for example, you know, like when he was, you know, 10, you know, there was still, you know, music being, you know, played off of like, you know, records and CDs, and like the idea of it coming out of your car wasn't that crazy. There was like tape cassettes.
Yeah.
But it's like now, like the idea of like, you know, when I was born, like the internet wasn't even really explored yet. And now it's exploded in this whole thing where you can like FaceTime people and streaming, and anything you can do can be spread across the world in seconds. Like the amount of technological advancement, mm-hmm, that has happened from since I was 10 years old to now is astronomical.
Yeah,
and like, I feel like people have never experienced that level of technological innovation that fast, mm-hmm, ever.
Yeah.
So it's kind of...
Dude, I got a lyric in one of my songs that says, I can take a picture, send it into space, half a second later you can see my face. So it's just like the speed of things, the speed of way, of communication, travel, technology, all that stuff is just going to exponentially get better. Like the next step is AI. Who knows the hell... AI is going to be writing hit songs, and then we're all going to be out anyway.
You got so me. Ain't AI matter. Wrote all my songs. No, but I mean, seriously though, it's insane.
All right, man. Well, before we get out of here, I think we need to, you got to tell us where we can find you. Justin, you guys tell us where we can find Elements of Sound stuff, what you got coming up in the future. Give us a little glimpse.
You can find me at Jay Williams Baby, J-A-Y Williams Baby, all one word, on Instagram, X, I almost said Twitter.
That's Twitter news, Twitter for life.
And then just Jay Williams on Facebook, and on Spotify, it's just Jay Williams, and all platforms, you know, Apple Music, YouTube as well. Also, the first song we played, Passions, has a music video, which Justin is also in. He's in a funny outfit.
Yeah, I have a mustache.
And it was directed by a really good music video director. His name's Trap Steve. He actually assistant directed Jack Harlow's latest video. He's making connections, dude.
Nice. Guys.
And so yeah, all platforms, Jay Williams Baby. And then on YouTube, it's Jay Williams. And Elements of Sound, you can find him at...
Spotify, YouTube, Instagram, Elements of Sound Music. And then we also have the Moon Shadow Fest coming up April 7th. And then we also have Fuzzy Pig coming up April 28th.
All right.
Tickets are still on sale for that for people who are interested. Come and hanging out. It's pretty cool.
I know you're out, the Fuzzy Pig.
I will be there. Yeah.
I'm hoping to be I'm hoping to be there and doing some audio and hopefully some video. Maybe I can get Fred to tag along and do some video.
Oh yeah, you'll have to be there. That'd be pretty cool. The spot.
We can all do TikTok dances together. Yeah, to promote our music.
There we go, dude. We'll go viral for the third time for you, my man.
Yeah,
Nate, what about you, buddy? Are you taking mix and mastering from anybody else? I mean, if somebody wants to send you some files, where can they find you?
Oh yeah, I'm on Facebook, Nathan King. I just made a YouTube channel where I'm doing like drum playthroughs of different songs and stuff just for fun.
Sweet.
That's Nate King Tunes on YouTube. But yeah, I mean, if anybody needs anything mixed, hit me up. I'm still running live sound and just playing as much drums as I can. So,
right on, man. Sweet. Well, fellas, it's been awesome. Where are you at, Earl? Where can we find you?
Earl Bowman Music on all the places. Yeah, find us. Subscribe to the podcast, too. Don't fuck around. Hit subscribe. We're tired of you all listening and not hitting subscribe on Instagram
smash
and YouTube.
Smash the button, guys. Smash it.
Fair Games joined us over there on the Switcher today, man. Yeah. He came in to say hi and ended up working. So check him out. He's a photographer, videographer, doing it all. Instagram, where can they find you on Instagram? Fred? At the Fred Games on Instagram? YouTube, Fred Games, check it out, you guys. He's got a lot of cool stuff, works with the Young Romantics quite a bit. He's been doing a lot of live video and photography stuff around Louisville, so check him out, check that out. He's been to the Monarch both times, got some good stuff with you guys.
Yeah,
my man, he showed up, not to work, and worked. Yeah. Appreciate him over there. Check out Top Hill Recording Podcast, subscribe on YouTube. I think that's probably our most important. Do the same thing on Instagram, and we will see you next time. Appreciate you.
Peace out.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you all.